So once again, happy Women's Day to all the ladies. And even in the week where I was thinking of preparing for today, part of me wanted to prepare something for you in specific. But I just felt the Lord turn it to something else. But if you do come Tuesday night, you're in for the treat. The Lord has something for women on Tuesday evening. So today's message is beyond human ability. And I know that looks a bit woo. But sorry. Luke 18:27 says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Amen. And even Christian, if you put me one up, I just want to use some scriptures quickly. Matthew 19:26. With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Luke 18:27, but he said what is impossible with man is possible, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Genesis 18:14, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the question I want to ask, are we living in a reality enough where we see the impossible becoming possible? Or are we settling for a Christianity that we can explain without the Holy Spirit? When was the last time that you couldn't explain something with logic? I think I'm just gonna repeat that. When was the last time? Yeah, the kids are kicking out. Apologies. When was the last time you didn't have a logical explanation? Because that's the faith that we are called to. Where you don't even know how to put it into words what God is doing in your life. Because then you are operating in the impossible being made possible. When my life changed, when I got born again and I left drugs, and I went back to university and I was studying for a maths and science teacher. I enjoyed, I love academics, did very well. Second year, I was accepted at grade to do my practice teaching. My subjects, half of them are over 90% and the rest are in the 80%. And then the Lord speaks through my wife and says, tell him that's not my role for you. And so my mother's a teacher, my sister's a teacher, my aunt's a teacher, and the other one isn't a practicing teacher, and one of my uncles also a teacher. And I come out of 12 years of drug addiction, and I finally have some stability. And the Lord says, this is not my will for you. And so I must explain to my mother that I'm walking away from stability. I'm going to walk away from a provident fund that will set me up for life. Because the Lord is saying, this is not his will for me. So now I have nothing. But I need to convey that to her, that the God of the impossible is about to do something in my life. When was the last time you were in a situation like that? Are we creating the environment for the Lord to operate in the impossible made possible? Because we all believe God is the God of the impossible. I don't think any of us doubt that. But are we sustaining and creating the environments for that to actually flow in our lives? It's not meant to just be things that we read about in the Bible. Because it's the same God. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, is the God of Sydney, the God of Kingdom, the God of Impor, the God of all of us. So the impossible must be made possible in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:3-5, I'm not going to say it, it's not there, Crystal. Talks about us being open letters. Letters to be read by the world. People aren't reading the Bibles, but they're reading you. Do they see something on your life that is not natural? It's impossible that that guy is living that way. When was the last time someone spoke to you in that way? Or do we just look like them? We speak like them. We watch what they watch. We talk like they talk. We listen to what they listen. We're not creating the environment for the impossible to become possible in our lives. And that's the core of today's message that I want to share with you. Because the God of the impossible hasn't changed. He's still the same. It's even better for us now because He lives inside of us. In the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon them. Now we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. 24/7 access to the same Holy Spirit that hovered upon the waters before this earth was formed. Can you even comprehend what that means? Imagine the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. He has been here from the beginning. He's seen nations rise, nations fall. People rise, people fall. Trends come, trends go. He's seen it all. He's inside of you. You just have to tap into Him. Holy Spirit, what do you want from me today? Holy Spirit, it doesn't seem my life is changing. What am I not getting right? Instead, we go to social media. We go to a TikTok pastor that's trending. Feel warm. With a 2-minute message that is not even loving. And the Holy Spirit is inside of you. Mourning because you're not turning to Him first. And so this morning, image two, just want to back that up with scripture. Operating in the possible made possible, Matthew 19:26. No, it's next one. The God of the possible, yeah, within us. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. Romans 8:11, it is the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Zechariah 4:6, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit. That is our inheritance. That is what we're supposed to be operating in. We shouldn't come back with a report like those who were sent out to spy. We are just grasshoppers in their sight. And some of us are operating from a perception that we are just grasshoppers in this world. We are children, we are daughters and sons of the Most High God who dwells inside of us. What more? What more would you need? But the enemy fools us with the concerns of this world. I'm asking, what more do we need? And we all like, Mayi, you worry about a car. You worried about the size of your house. You worried about your bank balance. And unfortunately, what more do we need? We have answers to that. I have a list. These are the things. And this morning, this genuine sense that the Holy Spirit is not, I don't know how to word it properly, but not too happy with us. Not too happy with us. We have been given everything because we have been given the Holy Spirit. We have been given everything because we have been given the Holy Spirit. The Lord is my shepherd. The original is Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. Amen. The God who created the heavens and the earth is guiding you through life. I shall not want. The original is, I shall not lack. You have to have a revelation of that verse.
Amen.
In this walk with Jesus. Because it will change your outlook on life. It will change your outlook on your prayer time. It will change your outlook on desiring Him, on spending time with Him. Ooh, it's 5 o'clock, it's biggie koud, ek kan nie opstaan nie. Die Here verstaan. You're fooling yourself. Give Him the reverence that He deserves for who He is in your life. I haven't even started with what I'm supposed to do. Anyhow. So we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark. And the Lord took me through this in the week. I'm just going to use a certain scriptures. And the Gospel of Mark, we're going to read it from a point of view of not just the things that Jesus did. And it's often used the dynamics of the relationship between Jesus, the Pharisees, and those things. But I want to just use it from the point of view that Jesus did all these things, but I want us to take note of the environment that was required and the environments in which these things took place. And so the first one I want to go to, and it's there's 7 of them, I don't know if I'm going to get to all 7, but the first one is Mark 1 verse 8. And it says, this is John speaking, John the Baptist. I have baptized you with water, but He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And the first point I want to make is, we need the Holy Spirit and not merely good intentions. Jesus didn't come to simply improve your life. He came to fill people with God's own Spirit. There's a difference between the two. Often Christians fall into this trap of behavior modification. We think that's the ultimate level of transformation. It's not even transformation. We just want to change the way I speak. I don't want to swear anymore. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to smoke anymore. Those are just behavior modifications that you can do in human strength. And because you do it in human strength, often you struggle with it. You can't get the victory over it because you're using human strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the Holy Spirit that can transform your heart. And so we need to allow the Lord to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. A fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life today? What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit? There's just something about people that serve the Lord. You can go to a place and you look around and you're like, yo, that one. That one serves the Lord. Or when they start to speak, you immediately know this one serves the Lord. There's something about the Holy Spirit that you can pick up in people. But if in your workplace no one even knows that you attend church, then there's a problem. I know what. There's a... No, maybe not make a joke. I think the Lord is fine if I do. There's this joke that one day in heaven, you're just going to hear someone say, "Hi, Yannis, hey, okay. Are you also here?" You know? And so, yeah, we need the Holy Spirit, not just good intentions.
Amen.
Are we depending more on our plans than on His presence? And this is the environments in which the impossible becomes possible. And a dynamic of this, which people sometimes don't get, is that the Lord will use others who carry the Holy Spirit to accomplish this. And so I say this with humility, but also with a warning. Be careful of how you interact with your leaders. They carry a gifting. They've given authority because they have been through things. And so when they speak about things, well, if it's spirit-led, when they speak about things, you should be taking note about what they are saying. Because the Lord is using them to usher in the impossible being made possible in your life. And unfortunately, we clash a lot with earth outside. And there's a hierarchy outside also. But the goal of outside's one is to rule with a thumb over you. And so we take that thinking and we bring it into the kingdom and wie jy om met my te praat. But the goal of a leader in the kingdom is to draw you out and to pull you up. That's not a nice process. It's not always easy. It's not always steps that you're climbing up. Sometimes it's out of mud. Sometimes you need to be uitgeruk, man. You're pulled out. It's not always gentle. It's not always nice. But it's the Lord's will, if we can discern that it's His will in it. Okay? Second one, the Holy Spirit doesn't only lead us into comfort. And if we go to Mark 1, verse 12, the Spirit immediately drove him, Jesus, out into the wilderness. That is after his baptism. It was Holy Spirit led into the wilderness. If we marry this with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me rest and all the goede, mooie goede. Wonderful verse 1, 2, 3, wonderful. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who do you think led him through that shadow and through that place? It's the same God that's allowing you to rest along rivers, still rivers. It's the same God that is leading you through that darkness. There has to be a testing, there has to be a growing. How do you grow in character if you are never tested? Some of us are praying, oh Lord, give me patience. And then the Lord gives you someone. I'm thinking of a name that doesn't, not here. A random name. Oh wait, and the Lord gives you Ignacio. The Lord gives you Ignacio. Jy bid vir geduld, hy gee jou 'n mens. Because it must be built through that. That you're growing in grace. You grow in your patience through people. It's not a gift that you can pray and get it and just operate in it. It comes through interaction. It comes through loving amongst each other. Yeah. That's why this thing is so important. Guess who's coming to lunch? It's meant to grow us in areas that we lack. Yeah. Don't run away from it. Yeah. Don't run away from it. Come on, Ignacio. And so the shepherd leads in both places. Yeah. And sometimes the wilderness isn't evidence God has left you. It's evidence that He is preparing you. Yeah. The same Spirit who comforts also strengthens. And we're still in Mark 1. And Jesus, third point I want to make is Jesus' presence disturbed darkness. And the Bible says, and immediately he went into the synagogue. And this demon couldn't hold itself back because Jesus was in the room. What do you want with us? What do you want with me, Son of God? Yeah. And we spoke about it, and we prayed about it, and we felt the Lord there. Yeah. There's something wrong if a demonic presence is comfortable in our meetings. Yeah. There's something wrong if it can sit here through worship and through a preach, and it's okay to just go out again. Then we are not getting the atmosphere right. We are not holding the atmosphere for the impossible to become possible. For us to move beyond human ability that only comes from God. Yeah. And so it was really, that one knocked me. Mike Davis preached that once, or one of these things. What's happening if things aren't, if there's no manifestations? And the point is not manifestations of demons. That's not the point. Because we're not here to shame anyone. But that thing needs to come out for healing to take place. Yes. Right? Yeah. Unity is key in that one. Yeah. Our hearts with one another is key for that to take place. 3 months ago in this place, Demons can't hear blame. Every Sunday in worship, something is happening. And we need to inquire what changed. If you know the story of Achan, that when they went into the promised land and he took things and hid it, no, sorry, it's not there. Jared, where's Achan?
Where's who?
Achan. Joshua, that is, yeah. He hid things in his tent. And because of that, they couldn't take the next city. One person's things that is hidden in a tent affected an entire country. And people died. People died because of disobedience. Please don't think you carry that amongst us. You are that important. We are a brotherhood, a priestly brotherhood. All of us matter the same. Yeah. No one here is more important than anyone else. Or if you can show me someone here where Jesus paid a higher price than the rest of us, then that one is in a higher place. Or if he paid cheaper for you, please tell me. Because maybe you believe that.
Sure.
Maybe you believe that the price that was paid for you was below par. You are not a discount. You are not on sale 2 for 1. Not Black Friday. It's Resurrection Sunday. You carry value here. And we need to shift our minds from individual thinking to congregation, to corporate on a Sunday.
Yeah.
What I do here affects everyone in this room.
Yeah.
And to carry that responsibility, each of us must carry that. Because then the impossible will be possible every Sunday and Tuesday in this place. And not just then, every day at home as well.
Sorry,
I'm lucky I'm sick. I was a gesond, was it noch erger. Next point in Mark 1:32-34, and I think we're going to read this one. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And one of the things in creating the atmosphere is people brought broken people to Jesus. And the question I'm asking in the air for all of us is, when was the last time you brought a broken person through these doors? That's part of it. That's part of the environment we're creating. We are not looking for a perfect church. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to look nice all the time. Then there's something wrong. If everything just goes and flows smoothly, I will be worried. Because then where's the opposition? Where's the opposition if everything is just going like this? Well-oiled machine. So the whole town gathered. The sick came. The oppressed came. Jesus welcomed them. So the hurt people didn't stay away. And that's a point I want to make here. I'm sick, I'm here. For me, it's unless I'm half dead or I'm already dead, I can't be here. I'll try to, but I can't be here. What is our resistance level when it comes to seeking the Lord and being amongst His people on a Sunday? Does it take one cough? Does it take one snot nose for me to stay away? How much am I resisting that? Isabella is struggling with her stomach this morning. From 5 o'clock this morning. And she's like, yo, I must probably stay home with her. I said, we're going to wait till after 6. We're going to be praying until then. And then we'll make a call. I'm not just going to immediately, no, we're not going to church. No, that's fine, stay home. We're praying and we're seeing, is this changing? And then when we saw, okay, really, it's not changing. Okay, you have to stay home. But we fought. Are we fighting to be here on a Sunday? Are we fighting to be amongst the saints? Dinsdag aand, oh, it's been a long day. 2 hours. 2 hours is all that we get together on a Sunday. It's all we get. There's 24 hours in one day, 7 days, 168 hours. 2 out of 168. 1 out of 84. It's just over 1%. That's how much time we spend together in the Lord's presence. But we're so quick to let it go. And then we're wondering why the impossible isn't coming possible in my private life 7 days a week. Next point, Mark 1:35. And rising very early in the morning, this is Jesus, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. The point here is Jesus' public power flowed from his private life. It has to flow from your private life. Very early, Jesus withdrew to pray. Before the crowds, there was communion with God. Before ministry, there was intimacy with God. That's something we have to learn. We have to learn that. I get so sad when I read in the Old Testament, the Israelites, and they tell Moses, you go up the mountain. And basically saying, you come down and tell us what God said. Thousands of years later, and it's sad reality that in a lot of churches people still have that same thinking. Pastor, you go, you suffer, you get up early, you stay up late, you study the Bible and just come tell us Sunday. If Jesus needed time with the Father, how much more do we? If the perfect knew that was important, why are we struggling as the fallen to catch this one? And perhaps one reason we long for public power, displays of power, but experience little of it is because we've neglected the private fellowship. Because then it's just entertainment. Something I can switch on and off Sunday morning. Lord, come through. Lord, come do something amazing here. But I'm not living a lifestyle that's married to that thinking. I'm not living a faith out the other 6 days of the week. But I'm expecting this to happen on a Sunday morning. What's the time now? Sorry. The next one is Mark 2, and I'm not going to read it. I think we all know Mark 2, the paralytic guy that the four carried on the stretcher. And with this one, I mean, talking about atmospheres and environments, is that the faith of others removed the obstacle for this guy. Are we operating in that? Do we have the faith that in the spirit we are carrying Donovan to the Lord with our faith for his knees to be healed? Are we doing that? In the spirit, are we carrying Bridget to the Lord that is struggling with chronic neck and back? Are we doing that? And it's not just carrying on a stretcher. These guys had to climb onto a roof. I don't know what that looked like with four people carrying a stretcher. How you get someone onto the roof. And then when they were on the roof, they had to remove the tiles. And then they had to drop him in. And that takes coordination.
Yes.
Because if one pulls too early, then they literally dropped him in. They lowered him. Are we that to each other? My heart raaks seer, man. Is so weinig dat jy op 'n community group post van ek voel nie lekker nie, bid vir my. Ek gaan deur die bid vir my. For those who didn't understand, I said my heart gets sore when on the comm groups where I don't see people saying, I need prayer. Because that stirs the gift. When someone asks you, are you well? And we have that auto answer, no, I'm good. The Lord is good. Die Here. Yo, huis is deur mekaar. But we're not trusting each other. To pray, that's just how it gets exercised. I can't carry if you're not there. If you're standing against the wall and pretending you're okay, but you can't move, you're gonna fall over if anyone just touches you. And Jesus saw their faith. And faith is often inconvenient. That was inconvenient for them. When was the last time you allowed the Lord to make you or to be inconvenienced for someone else?
Right.
Not just for you, for someone else.
Come on.
Yes, Tim, I want to buy tackies with that money. I'm okay. Yeah. That was meant for Streetwise 5 with a bucket of a barrel. You planned it. Oh, we're going to eat lekker. But you're hearing your brothers talking about they have nothing. When is the last time you inconvenienced yourself to glorify God? Because that person's not just going to see you. They're going to see God moving. They're going to see the impossible made possible. And God uses human vehicles just as much as divine miracles. Are you allowing yourself to be that?
Amen.
Real faith often costs comfort.
Yes.
The last point I want to make, I'm going to plaster here for Amo. I'm sorry I stabbed you this morning. The last one is Mark 6, verse 3 to 6. Is not this the carpenter? This is what Jesus came back to his hometown and was teaching in the synagogue. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages, teaching. Please, in that, let us just understand one thing. Jesus didn't lose his power. He withheld. Not that he didn't have power. Okay. But familiarity breeds unbelief. And it's a tension that we have to walk out as individuals. And it isn't an easy thing. Like, yeah, I'm an elder, I'm a pastor of this congregation. But to my family, I'm Nasho. I know what Dom could have done and is living a better life now. But they don't, you understand? They don't see or respond to me from a spiritual point of view. I'm biologically their family. And so it's difficult to speak spiritual things in that atmosphere. And that's one dynamic of it. But amongst each other, we need to be careful that we don't become too familiar with one another. That's probably one of the most difficult things in marriage. We love with each other 24/7, but at the same time, I can't become too familiar with you. Because if you give me a prophetic word, I need to discern this is the Lord. This is the Lord speaking through her right now. And so the same thing here amongst each other. It's great, we joke, we laugh, we brother and sister, we family. But may we not become too familiar that when someone says something, that we can't discern that it's the Lord speaking. And so the impossible can't come possible in that moment which God actually created for something to take place. Let's just be careful of that one. And Mark says he could only do a few miracles there because of their unbelief. And so how we view each other plays a big part of how a Sunday goes down in this congregation. And for that we need to search our heart. Sometimes the greatest enemy of revival isn't always opposition. Sometimes it's familiarity. Whew, all right. And so in Mark we see this pattern. If you can put up image three, please. For these things to take place, and we start on the right hand side of clockwise. Bringing broken people to Jesus. Cultivate private intimacy with God. Exercise costly faith. Be inconvenienced. Refuse to become familiar or cynical about meetings, about each other. That's why I felt it this morning to ask, why are you here? Why are we here? Sometimes we go, human beings love patterns. If I come to your house and I sit on one seat, I promise you that's the only seat I'm going to sit on every time I come to your house. Most of us are just, we love patterns because patterns brings us safety, security. We know how it works. Okay. So sometimes people are afraid of the move of the Holy Spirit. We like this, we know how it works. Someone's going to do announcements, then we're going to sing Ata Tapata, Swim in Water, and then we're going to preach, and then we're going to have coffee, and then we're going to go home. Let's not become too familiar with these things. Lord God, we can't move mightily where there's actually unbelief for the supernatural beyond what we expect. Welcome Christ's authority. Welcome his authority in private life and also in the setting of how the Lord has put church together. Okay. Trust God in the wilderness because it's the same God that is leading you. And it will lead you through it. Because Psalm 23 ends with, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's an end goal to this all. Yeah. And the last one there, and not least important at all, depend on the Holy Spirit. Not your bank account. Some people's moods are dependent on their bank balance. I used to suffer from that one. 25th to 30th, I have a big smile. 30th to the 5th, I don't smile much. Oh, 20th to 25th, grumpy. Grumpy because my emotions and my moods are dependent on my bank balance and not on the Holy Spirit. Right. So in closing, Luke 18:27, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I'll ask this question again. Are we positioning ourselves to experience and to participate in the impossible being made possible? We know God can. We know it. But are we sustaining, creating, and shielding the environments that it operates in, that the Holy Spirit operates in? We can't produce revival. We can't manufacture miracles. We cannot change hearts. But we can become a people who hunger for God's presence, who pray, who believe, who bring people to Jesus, who refuse familiarity, and who make room for the Holy Spirit to do what no human being can accomplish. That is what we are called to. And if anything out of this whole message, please don't think the core of what I'm saying is I'm placing a burden on you to make God move. That's the last thing that's on my mind. I'm not here to teach how to create miracles. That's not what I'm doing. But I'm trying to challenge us to fight for the environments in which Yahweh can move amongst us.